Hey, it's Tony Bruschi. If you enjoy this podcast, Real Ghost Stories Online, be sure to check out our other paranormal podcast, The Grave Talks, with new episodes every Monday and Tuesday. Just search The Grave Talks wherever you download podcasts. Now, here's a 15-minute preview of one of this week's episodes of The Grave Talks. Today on The Grave Talks, Funeral Family, a conversation with John Moore. Telling your classmates that you live in a funeral home is a rather interesting way for John Moore to gain friends. However, it was his reality. It was a reality that involved him and his family seeing and sometimes communicating with his great-grandfather, the funeral home founder. These experiences would drive John to explore the paranormal world and try to identify more than just what goes bump in the night. This is his story.
Well, for me, it actually has been pretty much my whole life. I was born on the East Coast to a family of undertakers. So I actually grew up inside a funeral home.
Wow.
My great-grandfather always said that the dead don't bother us because we're the ones who see their final dignity in life with being funeral directors.
Okay.
So it's always been a big thing in my family, the paranormal. So that's one good thing I had. My first experience with it was actually when I was 8 years old in that funeral home, because my great-grandfather I never met. He died 3 months before I was born.
Mm-hmm.
But one night I was there with my father after they had a service that night. I think it was just a wake. I can't remember exactly because it's been so long. But he was cleaning up in the chapel area, and I was just in the lobby looking down the stairs to where we have the showcase for the coffins. And I saw an older gentleman at the bottom of the stairs. He waved and smiled. I waved back, said hi, and then he moved off out of sight of the stairs. So that's when my father came out and asked me, who was I talking to? I told him there was a guy downstairs. So he went down and looked, obviously couldn't find anyone. So we went. It was a few years later, looking at an old family album, that I actually saw a picture of the man I had seen, and it turned out that was my great-grandfather who had died before I was born.
And he had been an undertaker there? Was he the one who started the business?
Yes, he was the one who founded the business.
Okay. Wow.
So it was, it's always, and funny story, that we no longer have the funeral home. It's now an adult learning annex.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody who's in that area in the basement, they still report seeing him, feeling a presence and things like that inside that building. That's definitely a place I've had my on my bucket list that I want to go investigate one day. So
I would imagine. So after you had this experience, like immediately after you see this, you tell your dad, he goes and looks, there's nobody there. Does your dad suspect that you had seen a ghost?
He figured it was probably just, like I said, my whole family is really been into these the paranormal for my whole life.
Sure.
So he kind of also believed, like, yeah, maybe what I saw was my grandfather or something.
Mm-hmm. So in this atmosphere growing up, and you say your family has been very into it, I want to ask first, what was it like? I mean, that atmosphere of being in a funeral home, you're surrounded by death. That is the business. How did that affect you? I mean, just take paranormal out of the equation, just psychologically, and the way you viewed death and things in that kind of macabre world versus, you know, how other kids saw it when you were at school and talking to them. How would you describe the difference in mindset that you had versus them?
It's definitely a different mindset for sure. Like, I could go, like, when I'm at a funeral now, it doesn't bother me as much as, say, somebody else, just because I'd been around it so long.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm not heartless. I do still feel like the sadness and all that, the
sure.
loss. But at the same time, it's a little more natural for me than most people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a lot of people will go into a funeral home and they feel nervous. They feel a little scared because they're not used to it. They don't know what to expect. It's just so many negative emotions that come up with the idea of why you're there, that it's something that people project. But for me, it was just something normal. So it really didn't faze me. It would be like you walking into your studio for me.
Sure. I completely understand. When you have, like you said, the family that really, you know, they were into this, and you have that sort of setting, and you were 8 when you had that first experience. How did things progress from there as a child, as you continued to, you know, learn that your family, you know, this is what they do, but they obviously also see the other side of it, too? Tell me some more experiences that you had, you know, shortly thereafter.
Well, to be honest, I didn't really have too many shortly thereafter.
Okay.
I was rather young then, so my family wasn't so into the idea of ghosts and monsters for an 8-year-old.
Sure. Okay.
So they basically kept me out of that for quite a while. Although there would always be like comments from, like, you know, things my grandfather used to say and things like that. But when I was 15 was when I had my next experience at a family home. And that's when I really started researching and looking into things. Like, I would get hold of basically what happened there. We were living at a house which over 2,000 people have seen this ghost in it. The ghost of Mr. Farmer is what everyone calls him. He was the owner of the house who died in one of the upstairs bedrooms. I believe it was in the 40s or 50s.
Mm-hmm.
But he had been seen frequently in the picture window by people driving by. And we actually had a handprint on that window that we couldn't wash off. Like, it was permanently there.
Wow.
So I remember one day I was downstairs in the living room. The big window is in the dining room right behind it. And as I was, I'd fallen asleep on the couch and I woke up. It was probably somewhere around 2:30, 3 o'clock. Hmm. I turned around and sure enough, I saw old Mr. Farmer standing there. He turned his head, looked at me, and then he just vanished. So it was at that point that I started looking into things a little more seriously, and I started getting my hands on any book I could that dealt with parapsychology, paranormal, things like that.
Are you thinking at this point these are definitely ghosts? Are you looking for other logical possible explanations? Where's your mind at?
At this point, I was looking to try and figure out what I had seen. Mm-hmm. Like, I was thinking, you know, was I dreaming this? Was I still only half awake? Is there actually somebody in my house? Like, this is where my mind went right at the very first onset of it.
Yeah.
But then once he faded away, it was, okay, what the heck just happened? So that's why I began looking into it. And yeah, I do believe that they were, at the time, I did believe they were spirits.
But okay.
Again, it didn't scare me.
Sure. Sure. And I want to hear more about as things progress, but I also want to hear some more observations about the funeral home. And you had said that others have likely seen your grandfather there as well. What other experiences did you learn that your family had there as you got older, when they became more open to talking about such experiences and such? And I'm also curious about guests at the funeral home that were, you know, coming to visit and say their final goodbyes to their loved ones as well. Was there any encounters within any of those groups?
To my knowledge, I don't think very many of the guests actually experienced anything. At least none have come forward and given me any, or that I've been told of. I know my father and my grandfather used to have experiences frequently, especially in the chapel area when they'd be setting up.
Mm-hmm.
They would always go back and things would be moved around, and they would always just joke that it was great-grandfather didn't like how they were setting up again. Mm-hmm. So there was frequently things being moved like that. I do know some of the offices, the embalming room, a lot of the times things would move as well.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a lot of that going on. I don't know if they actually saw anything. I know my grandfather, before he passed, mentioned that he had once thought he had seen something in the basement, but he wasn't he was more of a rational man.
Mm-hmm.
So he wouldn't come right out and say that he was seeing a ghost, but he believed he did see something down there moving.
So the occurrences actually predate the passing of him.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
But they were from my great-grandfather.
Oh, your great-grand... Okay, your great... Okay, I apologize. Your great-grandfather. So this is something I'm assuming he was very passionate about and enjoyed doing.
Yeah.
Okay. And that, 'cause that's usually obviously why someone would want to continue haunting or continue to be in a place of what they, you know, what they were passionate about in life. Mm-hmm. The idea of a funeral home and it being haunted, it's an easy one, I guess, on the surface to kind of grasp at and go, oh, sure, a funeral home. But when you think of it, you know, other than the people who are operating it, that's not necessarily a place that many people frequently visit. It is, though, a place of very high emotion and such while people are going through the grieving process of their loved ones. When you look back on this, and this is just opinion based, if you were to say, you know, the building is haunted, who would you do you think it's more so your great grandfather that would be haunting it? Or do you think there may be other spirits there as well, even pertaining to some of the people who had their services there?
You see, the only one I could see that would truly be haunting it would be my great-grandfather, mm-hmm. because it was his passion. It was his business that he started. Mm-hmm. I do believe that. Other activity in there, though, I could see very easily, because as you mentioned, the amount of emotion that comes when you're in those buildings is just through the roof, right?
Yeah.
The sadness, the anger, there's so many different emotions that come through that, yeah, having some sort of almost like a thought form, like a poltergeist type activity,
yeah.
Something from parapsychology that they would talk about is the psi energy. The strong emotions like that would generate such psi outbursts. So it would be possible that when people are there, that something like that would occur.
And that's an interesting one. And I'd like you to talk more about that. It's something I've been talking about a lot lately on the show. Just the idea of us being able to almost haunt ourselves. Especially in times of very high emotion, times where we're trying to deal with trauma, things of that nature, PTSD, all of that. Sometimes I wonder, you know, of course, there's the things where we're, you know, almost objects, energy, things are turning lights on and off. And is it always necessarily something else that was attracted to that energy? Or is it our own energy just kind of going out there in waves and affecting things around us?
Personally, I find it's a lot of the time it's our own energy being projected out.
Mm-hmm.
Like I've studied parapsychology for a long time. That's what generally was my first focus.
Yeah.
And with that, a lot of it is the psi outburst. So I know, like, on a few of our cases here in Ottawa, we've had times where people would call us. I would go in, and my first thought is to talk to the family, see what's going on, because we're looking for a commonality of who could be the one where this outburst is coming from. Before I start looking at, okay, do we have an actual spirit haunting the place?
Mm-hmm.
And in most cases, we do find that there is a human factor involved, where some sort of a trauma of either, you know, a loved one lost, some sort of decision that they didn't make, just things like that. We always find one of those involved, and generally that's what getting that person to speak to a counselor of some sort or something, generally that's what resolves most of our most of the cases we've been dealing with. And especially right now during this pandemic, everywhere you look, there's so much going on. People are so stressed with everything that's happening. And cases, like the number of cases we have coming in, are just going through the roof.
Yeah.
And most of them I can clear as day point right out. Like, it's guaranteed it's the stress of this causing these psi outbursts.
Mm-hmm. And that's interesting. Is that commonly what you believe it is when people are having activity that would be related to that, when they're thinking, this is, you know, something's being attracted to my energy? Is that something as well, though, where someone may be very depressed, someone may be going through something very difficult? We always hear the thoughts and the stories that, well, sometimes that's what will bring, you know, something passing by over to you, something negative quite often. And it doesn't necessarily mean it's evil, but attracting negative energy. Is that something as well that happens in tandem with psi outbursts, or is it either or, an either or situation?
It can be. It's really hard to say because we're working in hypotheticals, right?
Yeah.
So, but it can be. Yeah, there are certain entities out there, like people love to talk about, like demons and things. They are attracted to those negative energies as well. So that is a possibility that it could happen.
Mm-hmm.
But the same thing would happen to clear it. You basically have to identify the problem,
mm-hmm.
and get this person the help they need to deal with that. And by doing that, often if it is their own outburst or if it is something that's been drawn to it, taking that part that it's feeding out of the equation generally resolves it.
Hope you enjoyed this 15-minute preview of one of this week's two brand new episodes of The Grave Talks. to hear the rest and get new episodes every Monday and Tuesday right in your podcast feed, search The Grave Talks wherever you download podcasts and press subscribe or visit thegravetalks.com.